Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Have your Bible at the ready. I'm going to focus on a word and then its application in our study tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. We're going to look at each of these references, going to read them. I'll point out the word. We're going to progress through the menu, so to speak, for our study tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. I would remind you that the person that we point out who is Jesus Christ in verse 21 is described by another apostle, John to be exact, as the Lord God Almighty. He is the King of Saints. John ascribes those titles to him. The Lord God Almighty, the King of Saints. And then he goes on to say, just and true are his ways. Now, verse 21, speaking of this King of Saints, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I point out the word able. Okay? He is able. This King of Saints, the Lord God Almighty, is able even to subdue all things to himself. The next point of reference we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Second Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. God is able, the King of Saints, the Lord God Almighty, is able, there's the word, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He is able. And then we move from there to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Acts 20. At verse 31, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 31, 32. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, the King of Saints, the Lord God Almighty, and to the word of his grace, which is, and here's the word again, is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He is the King of Saints. He is able. From there, please, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him, the King of Saints, the Lord God Almighty, now unto him that is able, and I would just footnote this, the use of the word able in this verse comes with the present tense, which underscores the obvious. He is always unceasingly able. Always able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh. And the same present tense is in the word work, which always, continuously, without ceasing, worketh in you. Us. We, me, you, thee, whoever, to whomever you wish to apply it. He is able, this King of Saints. And then I'd like to have you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Second Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The King of Saints is able. And then there are, in the book of Hebrews, multiple references that bring us to our application. Multiple references in the book of Hebrews. If you will begin with me at chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And the 18th verse. Again, pointing out to our God, the Lord God Almighty, the King of Saints. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Okay? He is able. Now the word there in English, succor, is the Greek word, and you may recognize this from past exercises and lessons. It's one of my most favorite words in the New Testament. That word is botheo. Just keep that in mind, because we're going to look at the same word used in different tenses, different parts of speech here in the book of Hebrews. It is said here, he is able to botheo, them that are tempted. Okay? Tempted in the same way that he is or was. And of course, God does not tempt us with sin. Any putting to the test, as I mentioned on Sunday, is designed to reveal to the individual being tested something about themselves by which and through which they may glorify the King of Saints. The next reference, I want you to look with me at Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, botheia, in time of need. Same root word in the Greek, just a different part of speech. Okay, help is the word, but God is able to help. And then, also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, chapter 13, and verse number 6. So that we may boldly say, inasmuch as our great high priest is able to help, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The helper is the word there. Bothos. Bothos. Now, to the point of application. In probably one of the greatest chapters out of all chapters in the Bible, out of all of them, in my humble opinion, comes to Acts 27. And at the 17th verse, Acts 27, 17, we have the application of this word, botheos, bothos, bothia. Acts 27 and 17. This is Acts 27, and there is the historical narrative of the life circumstances of over 240 people. Without stretching at all, we may say that their lives were becoming unraveled. Everything was falling apart. The vessel on which they were sailing was going to go to the bottom of the ocean. It was going to crash. Your life and my life, sometimes we do find ourselves in circumstances where we think everything is flying apart. Where we might be tempted to think that the vessel of our life is going to go right to the bottom unless God intervenes. This church, like unto a vessel, may well be going to the bottom, coming apart at the seams. And we read here in Acts 27, 17, what they did, which when they had taken up, they used helps. And there's the word, botheo. They used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. They used helps. Remember I told you before that the mariners would go to the bow of the vessel and take cables of some kind, throw over the front, so that as they were moving with the wind, they pulled the cable under the vessel, helped by the current underneath the hull, and when it got to a certain point back through the vessel, they cinched it up in the middle on the deck. They would go back to the front, throw another cable over the bow, let the current of adversity move it to a specific point in the hull. When it gets there, they all in unison cinched it up. This they would do three, maybe four times, depending on the size of the vessel that is at issue. And what was the purpose of that? To keep the vessel that was flying apart in danger of springing a leak from breaking apart. And so when we come back and we look at Hebrews 2:18, Hebrews 4:16, and Hebrews 13:6, the King of Saints, the Lord God Almighty, is able to frap, F-R-A-P-P, frap the vessel to keep it from flying apart. We conclude then, a general observation about the King of Saints and the Lord God Almighty. In the same book, Hebrews 7, verse 26, because if He is able to do this, He is able to keep you from flying apart in the midst of your circumstance. In Hebrews 7, 25, it is said there that He, the King of Saints, the Lord God Almighty, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. As surely as He is able to do that, He is able to take your little vessel bobbing on the sea of life and frap it and keep you from falling apart. I leave that with you to think. Trust that it would be an encouragement to you. And understand that God has preserved His word from ancient times to the present so that what we read might be a blessing and encouragement to us in the things that we face, even as those 240 men on board that ship faced for 2 weeks being tossed in a storm, ultimately to be cast on a beach. So, I leave that with you. I trust that it will be a help.